Today's the 1st of January. It's a good time to look forward to what change we expect or some things that we want to plan for the new year. I was out as just driving this morning, noticed some people already out running together, walking together. Obviously, part of probably their New Year's goal is to get fit, to have exercise. And that often happens after Christmas, doesn't it? We overindulge in all that eating and we think about, okay, this year I'm going to change that. For some, it might be that you want to organise things a bit better. I know for myself, I've been trying to declutter a little bit in the last week. I've got a long way to go. And then some might have certain work goals or financial goals or goals for relationships, just things that they want to see improved or changed in the year ahead. And some would say, well, look, it's just another day. I mean, you've got December 31st and now you've got January 1st. And what's the difference? And I think the difference is just a renewal of commitment. While it is just another day, God certainly in the Old Testament had times where he talked about it was the beginning of a new year. Even in Exodus, when they came out of Egypt, he said, this is the beginning of a new year, the months of the new year. And even when Jesus Christ came, he talked about, he was preaching, quoting from the Old Testament about the acceptable year of the Lord. And so I think at the start of a year is a good time to perhaps refresh, recommit, look at some new things. But we understand that, as Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And nothing means nothing. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you maybe have some goals, whether you've got them down on paper and you've got a plan, or you've just thought in your mind some things you'd like to do this year or some changes you'd like to make. But I'd like to share with you God's goal for you this year. It might sound a bit presumptuous to say, well, how do I know what God's goal is for you this year? Well, God has a will for all of us, and there's obviously a specific will he has for us, but there are some things that God has said that he has for us as believers. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that this is even the will of God, your sanctification. And that's a big word, but really what it's talking about is spiritual growth. And so today I'd want us to consider what God's goal is for every Christian, and that is to grow. God wants us to grow as a believer. And God's desire for you is that you would grow spiritually. You see, the wonderful thing is that God takes you where you are when you come to him. You can't earn your way to salvation in Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. And God meets you where you're at, but he doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He wants to work in your life to conform and change you into the image of his Son. Once Christ is in your life, once you have Christ in you, then God's ultimate plan is to grow you and change you to become more like him. One person said that the Spirit of God is working in the child of God to make him more like the Son of God. And that's really what it is. It's salvation, of course, is completely not of us, it's of God. But our sanctification, our spiritual growth, there's a lot of different terms, isn't it? We talk about growing in Christ-likeness, our walk with God, our sanctification. All of these are talking about the same thing. It's talking about God saying, okay, you're a believer, you're now in Christ. The time that you're here on this earth, before you go to glory to be with him, I'm going to take you from where you are and I'm going to grow and change and mold you to become more like my Son, that you would reflect Jesus Christ to this world, that you would be shining as lights, as it were, that you would glorify God through becoming more like Christ. And that's a process, and all of us are somewhere along that stage. Whether you've been a believer for 5 weeks or for 50 years, you're still on that process. And God says that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until you'll be with the Lord, this is God's goal for you, spiritual growth. So when we come to this year and we think about, well, what is it that we should be doing and what are our goals? The best thing we can have is the same goal as God, is that is spiritual growth. And so my desire for myself and for this church is to help you grow spiritually. And we're going to, over the month of January, look at a bit more about what that really means, spiritual growth. I want to, in this year, really set our focus upon helping every person here, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, how long you've been a Christian, whether you're struggling, whether you're going really well, is to help you to grow further to become more like Jesus Christ. And so I want to help you in whatever way that I can do that. I know that God wants to help you as well, and he's giving you all the ability. He gives you the Holy Spirit, and as we'll see, you have his word as well. So I want to encourage you in all of that. And so to do that, I want us to look at three, I call them goals to grow, but really they're commands from God. Now, the first one was in our reading in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says that we need to lay aside some things there, but verse 2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And so our first goal will be to desire the sincere milk of the word. If you want to have something to think about this year, is that you would grow in your desire for the word of God. You see, we're not going to grow spiritually unless we grow in the word of God and we grow in our desire for the word of God. Now, all of you have a Bible. I hope you all have a Bible. If you don't, there's Bibles up the back. Take one. And all of us want to know about God, and so we might read our Bible. But all of us, each of us would have varying levels of desire for the word of God. Some of us maybe just really want to spend a lot of time in the word God. Some of us find it a bit dry and may find it a bit dry and boring. But the Apostle Peter, in writing to the believers here, says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, understand, when each of us become a Christian, when each of us trust in Christ, we're born again, and so in one sense we're babes, we're spiritual babes. But he's not talking about that here. He's not talking about the fact that, hey, you're just a newborn babe in Christ, because some of the people here have been believers for years. He's using an example here, and the example he's using is of a little baby. I'm sure all of you have had some sort of experience with this, probably Liz most recently with Rebecca. The little baby starts by eating milk, by having milk. It needs milk. It needs milk to nourish, to grow, to survive. Now, if you've ever noticed a little baby, if they don't get their milk, they're kind of really niggledy, aren't they? They're kind of... And it's like they crave that milk. They have to have that milk, the mother's milk or the bottle milk. They have to have, because that's how they're going to grow and that's their desire. And what Peter is saying for us as believers is, in the same way as a little baby craves for that milk that it needs to grow, we as believers need to crave for the word of God. We need to have that desire, to desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, how do we grow in that desire? Well, firstly, we have to realize that that milk is what we need for our growth. The word of God is not just something that's optional in the Christian life. God reveals himself to us through his word. And so for us, we need to value and desire the word of God first. One of the things we need to do is spend time in the word of God. And up the back, I've got some Bible reading plans. It's a good time at the start of the year to get back into some regular reading of the Bible. There's a whole bunch of Bible reading plans. I'll share a bit more about that next week. I've also purchased and have some Bible on audio. So if you want to listen to it in your car or on your DVD, MP3 player, all these sorts of things, I want to help you with that so that you can increase your intake of the Word of God. But you have to see that the Word of God is valuable in the first place, that it's valuable not only for our growth, but because it's revealing to us our Father. Now, I have, and I brought it with me today, I have on this this little card here, and it sits on my desk, and it means probably nothing to anybody else, but it means a lot to me, and I actually value it quite a bit. It's actually just a little bit of writing from my dad. Now, my dad died 2008, so nearly 10 years ago, and he wasn't one that wrote a lot of things down, or he didn't write letters and things like that. And he actually one time went to Tasmania and had a great time there, and he came back and told me about this place to stay. And at the time, he wrote down here, and it just says, 4 Peter, cabin number 7, 7 beds, plenty of room, self-contained, 7 people, $184 a night. Well, I still carry that around. Well, I don't carry it around, but it usually sits on my desk. Now, I'm often tidying my desk, and I throw out all sorts of cards and business cards, but I keep this. And the reason I keep this is that, for one thing, it's the only writing that I have from my dad, which is, it's only a little... It's distinctive. If you see my dad's handwriting, it's like he was German, and it's just got this sort of look about it that you go, I know it's my dad's writing. So straight away, it's distinctive. I go, and it says, 4 Peter. So I know he wrote it to me. So it's distinctive. It's something that is unique. I know it's from my father, and I know it was written to me. And he had me in mind when he wrote that. Now, he had me in mind about just a purely physical thing, about, hey, if you want to go on a holiday, this is a good place to go. But think about this. That's what this is. This is a distinctive piece of writing from our Heavenly Father. It's unique. There's nothing else like it. It's the only one. And it's directed to us. And he wrote this with us in mind. So once we understand that, I value this, even though it's just a piece of writing, we need to value this because this is from our Heavenly Father. And for us, if we're going to desire the sincere milk of the word, we have to spend some time with that word. We need to value it. We need to realize that this is God revealing himself to us. Now, there's a lot of things, as we'll find, in this word that are valuable to us in helping us in our life, in our character, in our relationships, financially. In fact, I can tell you that whatever, I don't know what you're going to face this year in terms of trials, but anything that you're going to face, the answer's in here. Any problem, any difficulty, any trial, any need for wisdom, any decision you need to make, it's all in here. This word is sufficient for us. We are to desire the sincere milk of the word. Now, the sincere milk of the word, it talks about the genuine milk. The reason that we're to desire the sincere milk is there is a lot of other wisdom around that is not of God. And we're in a world today that touts all sorts of different ideas and wisdoms and philosophies, and they're trying to push their ideas upon it. And we have to understand that we're taking in things all the time. When you watch the television, when you watch the movies, when you read the papers, when you're on the social media or on the internet, you're taking in some sort of nourishment, you would say, but that not all of it is nourishing. When we're talking here about the sincere milk of the word, this is the only word that we can really trust. See, because it comes from God. It's God revealing himself. The more time you spend with somebody, the more that you're probably going to grow in desire for that person. The more time you spend with God in his word, the more you're going to grow in not only your desire for the word, but for God. And if you're struggling in your Christian life at the moment, if you're struggling spiritually, then it usually has to do with the fact that you're not spending time with him. And you're not spending time with him in your word. God uses the word of God and the spirit of God in our lives to grow us. Now, it's not just, as I said, an instruction manual. We're full of do's and don'ts. There are things that God tells us to do and things that God tells us not to do. Certainly commands in there. But more importantly, this is a portrait. This is a portrait of not only God, but God's people. If you read the New Testament epistles, there's all sorts of commands in there, put off and put on, do these sort of things. But really what it's giving us is, it's a photo album of what the Christian life should look like. And what, with Christ working in people's lives, how it works out. And for us, as we read that, God uses that to conform us and make us to be more like him. We need good food to grow. One of the things I learned last year through my health problems was that it's important what I eat, and that if I eat the wrong things, it affects my health, and if I eat the right things, it's good for me. If we're going to spend more time in the Word of God, we also need to realize that we have to also watch what else we take in. See, it's not good enough to just eat junk food the whole time and have one apple a day and say, you know, I'm okay. An apple a day keeps the doctor away? I doubt it. You're going to need more than an apple. And when it comes to the Word of God, just spending a few minutes a day, if you spend a few minutes of the day in the Word of God and you spend hours upon hours taking in all sorts of other media and succumbing to all of that, that's not going to help you. It's not going to help us in our growth. And so we realize to desire the sincere milk of the Word, we're going to need to spend not only more time in the Word of God, we need to, as part of Scripture tells us, to put off things that are not going to help us in our growth. There's different ways that we can do that. And next week I want to share a bit more about how we can really grow in the Word of God and appropriate it in our lives. It's not just reading the Bible. There's all sorts of things. We can read, we can hear, we can meditate on Scripture, we can memorize Scripture. We can also apply it and share it with others. There's many different ways that the Word of God works in our life. And really what it comes down to this is that if we want to grow as believers, if we want to grow not only in our desire of the word, but in our joy with God, then as we read the word of God, as we take it in, we are then able to look at the world around us and look at it through the filter of Scripture. See, if you just turn on the television, or if you read the internet news, or you check out your Facebook or whatever it is, and you just read about everything that's going on in the world, you could get very overwhelmed. There's a lot of things happening in the world. There's a lot of people that are pushing for our attention, trying to make us think differently. And we need to come back to the Word of God as our filter. And every time that we see something or hear something, we need to come back and say, well, what's God say about this? What's his word say about this? You see, the world basically wants to change our thinking. There is a battle on, and the battle is really centered around our mind. God wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, it says in Romans chapter 12. Not conformed to this world. The world wants us to follow along with them. And so whatever they think is trendy or popular or trending, as they say at the moment, the world says, you know, you need to fall in line with us. But the world hates God, and the world is anti-God, and it's anti-Christ, and we realize that friendship with the world is actually enmity with God. So we need to make those choices. And the only way we're going to understand it is to spend time in the Word of God. Well, the second command I want us to look at that would help us in our goal is in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And we need to understand that it's not only the problem of the world trying to change our thinking, that there is also false teaching within even the Christian church, people that will try to teach that's not according to the Word. And this is what Timothy is talking about. Now, I won't read the opening verses, but he talks about in the latter times, and we're definitely in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith because they'll give heed to these seducing spirits and all the sorts of different things like that. I want us to come down to verse 6, though, and this is a command to Timothy as the pastor of this church. And so, therefore, I take this to heart as the pastor of this church, but it's something that is valuable for all of us. It says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So what's the pastor supposed to do? Remind people of the word of God. It says, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Again, that idea of the word of God nourishing us. You know, the word of God is described as our meat. It's described as honey, as our milk, as bread, all those different things it's given for our nourishment. Of faith and good doctrine, it says here. But then in verse 7, it says, refuse old and profane fables. And here's the command, exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Exercise ourselves to godliness. This is what God is telling us. That firstly, we need to desire the sincere milk of the word. We need to get into the word of God. But secondly, we need to exercise ourselves to godliness. Now, two things come to mind here. Firstly, that means that there is some effort required. For salvation, you cannot earn your salvation. It's not by works. There's nothing, no work that you can do to save yourself. But when it comes to spiritual growth, it is God that works in us. But God also wants us to work out our own salvation. Right? And after that, of course, it says in Philippians 2 that God works in us as well. So it's this cooperative thing. So for us to grow spiritually, we have to understand that it's going to take some effort on our part. And if you're going to come into this year and you want to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to grow in your walk with God, grow to be more like Christ, it's going to take firstly that desire to do so, that desire, the sincere milk of the word, but it's also going to take some exercise or some effort. As I said this morning, I saw some people out and they were exercising already, probably starting the year with some plans, with their little Fitbits on or whatever it is to track their plans with that. But I'm sure that it's not exactly comfortable to do that. And if any of you have exercised, it's not always comfortable. It requires some effort. There's a little bit of pain involved because when you exercise, firstly, your muscles aren't used to it. And then after a while, you'll find if you continue to do it, your muscles do get used to it and you grow as well. So for us spiritually, what we have to understand is that it does take some effort on our part. And the reason it takes some effort is because when we're in Christ, we still have our old sin nature that is dwelling in us, warring against us in one sense. And so the desire for spiritual things is not, I would say, natural to us. We normally want to gravitate back to the flesh. Now, if we're growing in the Word of God and we're desiring that, then the difference with the Christians, we have the choice. We can actually choose to exercise ourselves to godliness. The unbeliever cannot exercise themselves to godliness because they don't have God in them. And what are we talking about godliness? Does this mean that, you know, I'm all pious and everything is... It's essentially saying, exercise yourself rather than godliness is the same as spiritual growth. Obedience to God, obedience to the word of God. Now, it tells us here that bodily exercise profiteth little. And that doesn't mean, hey, you don't need to worry about physical exercise. We should take care of our health and we should get exercise and things like that. Bodily exercise profiteth little. Why? Because it's for this life. You know, I can, as they say, you can go out, you can get fit, you can all this, you're still going to die. It doesn't matter how many vitamins you take, how much you run, how many what you eat, you're not going to beat that one. You're still going to die at some stage. But godliness is profitable to all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Obedience to the word of God, growing in Christ-likeness, sanctification, all of those things we're talking about, that spiritual growth, has benefit not just for our lives here, but for all of eternity. We have to realize as Christians that we have to stop just looking at this life. that's all there is. We know that this is not all this is. In fact, this is a little blip as far as eternity goes. So there's things certainly we can do in this life that benefit us in this life. And we talk about their bodily exercise. Yeah, that's fine. I'm not saying don't do it. But it's only going to benefit us in this life. Obedience to the word of God is going to benefit us not just in this life. We're going to see blessings and benefits and things in this life, but it's also going to be a benefit to us in eternity. How is that? Well, the Bible actually talks in a number of occasions about the fact that what we do in this life, how we live our lives, God will reflect itself in rewards in eternity. It's not something that we completely understand from Scripture. There's only a handful of Scriptures that talk about it, but certainly the way that we live out our life here as Christians will affect some of the blessings that we have in heaven. Now, just understand, everybody's going to have blessings in heaven. We're all going to be in the presence of God. But just as there are degrees of punishment in hell, there are also going to be degrees of rewards in heaven. I can't give you all the details of that. Scripture is very patchy on it. But certainly it says, as Paul says, he looks forward to the crown that he's going to receive. Blessings, of course, will be just given back to the Lord in eternity. But we have to understand that this life is not all there is. We are so used to going through day by day just looking at the here and now. What do I have to do today? What's going on this week, this month, this year? And that's often how the world wants us to, because when we say we're exercising ourselves to godliness, we're exercising against certain things. Just as when you're exercising, you're exercising against your muscles, against gravity, against, you know, the desire that you don't want to exercise. We have the world, the devil and the flesh that are all working against us. And so we need to exercise ourselves to do that, which means that as we come to scriptures, come to the scripture and we read things, there's stuff that we know that we will need to change in our lives. And it will take time. And for every person, not everybody progresses at the same rate. But one of the things we do see, and as I saw this morning, is that what really helps is that when you exercise, it's great to have an exercise partner or a group of people with you. And I noticed this morning when I was driving here that there were people out in groups that they were running. Why? Because they can help each other. God wants us to work together to help each other. And so when it says exercise yourself to godliness, you're not on your own. Firstly, you have the Spirit of God working in you. You have God working in your life. But also God puts you amongst other believers here in the church. And I believe that he does that so that we can encourage and help one another. And so in this year ahead, not only do I want us to grow in our desire for the Word of God, I want us to realize that we're all here to help one another and that we should be not just focused on our own spiritual growth, but focused on helping and encouraging one another. No matter where you're at, whether you're a young child or you're an older person, whether you've been a Christian a long time or a short time, you know, we can all help one another and we should. Not only is it good to have a group of people to exercise with, often it's good to have a place to exercise as well. Some people go to the gym, some people go to the footy oval, some people just go for a walk around the block. And here is one of the places where you can exercise. God wants you to grow as a Christian, and this is a place that you can do that. And I want to, in this year ahead, is to give more opportunities for you to exercise your spiritual gifts. If you don't know what your spiritual gifts are, I want you to be able to find them out. That you can serve the Lord, serve one another, and grow in Christ as well. So we're thinking about in this year ahead some different things that we can do with perhaps the children, with young people, with adults, with different groups. I don't want to start a whole bunch of programs, but I certainly want to give opportunities for us to use and develop our spiritual gifts that we might, each one of us, grow in Christ. And so we'll be talking a bit more about that, and we'll welcome your input on some of that as well. It's not about getting more work done. It's about growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and in exercising our gifts in that and helping one another. Well, the final one I just want us to turn to is in 2 Peter. And it's 2 Peter chapter 3. So desire the sincere milk of the word. We need to grow in our love for the word of God. We need to spend time in the word. Exercise ourselves to godliness. Recognizing that this life isn't all there is. It's going to take some effort on our part. We can help one another. This church here is a place in which we want to foster that as well. And finally, 2 Peter 3:18. And really this is probably the central one here, is that the command here from Peter is grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. Yes, we need to spend time in the Word of God. It's going to take effort from our part, but anything that we do is only going to be by God's grace. If we grow, we're going to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God is the one that is working in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Salvation is a gift of God, and spiritual growth is also involves God's grace. God's grace, we've talked about, as undeserved favor, as one person I've heard it said, is God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And when it comes to spiritual growth, yes, we can read our Bible, we can serve the Lord, we can encourage one another, but all of those things, without God's grace in our life, without the Spirit of God working in our life as well, it's just outward stuff. It's just activity. Spiritual growth is centered not in us trying to reach a goal of a particular outward look. So, you know, you're not saying, well, this is what a Christian looks like. This is, we need to do all these things. It's not about getting work done. It's about a person. And the person is Jesus Christ. A Christian, the IAN, it means to be characterized by, you know, a politician is one that's characterized by politics. A Christian is one that's characterized by Christ. And that's exactly what we're to be. We are to be Christ ones, people that reflect Jesus Christ, but not because we're trying so hard to do all the Christian things, but because we have a growing and a vibrant relationship with our Savior. He is the goal. Those outward things in our life come as a result of our inward transformation to become more and more like the one who is our goal, Jesus Christ. If you know, Paul had a lot of instructions in his epistles, didn't he, about, you know, this is what you need to do and put off and don't and live your life like this. But you come to Philippians and he says that this is my ultimate goal, that I might know him. And that's why it says here to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The grace reminds us that it's not our working, it's God's working in us. The knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ reminds us that who this is all about. The whole purpose of why we're here is our focus is upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about necessarily doing good things in the community. Well, we can do some good things in the community. We should. It's not about even evangelism. It's about Jesus Christ. You know, he should be the focus of everything we do. And for me as a pastor, I should just be a signpost. You know, a signpost, you don't look at the signpost and go, oh, it's a lovely signpost. You know, I like the way it's got the green there and it's got the metal pole and that. You're looking at what the signpost is pointing to. That is my role as a pastor, is to shepherd, to feed, but to be a signpost pointing you to the true shepherd, the true Savior. See, we cannot be what Jesus Christ already is. He's our Redeemer. He's our Provider. He's our Savior. And we shouldn't try and be anything different. You know, as I've sort of been reflecting a little bit on the last year, one of the things that I'll be open with you is that I've realized that too often I've tried to focus on getting you to like me rather than getting you to focus on and love the Savior. Now, I haven't always been that way, but I realize we all like to be liked. But as a pastor, my responsibility and my calling is to proclaim Christ, to direct you to Christ. And it doesn't mean I'm going to be nasty to you next year. But it does mean that I need to realize, as you need to realize, that this is not about us. This church is not about us. This church is not about me as the pastor. It certainly involves all of us. But our focus, firstly, is to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of work we could do as a church. There's a lot more we could do, you know, like I said, in community evangelism. We could have all sorts of activities and programs. And not saying that any of them are wrong. But without Christ, we're nothing. Just go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, you know this 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the love chapter. It's talking about love. But I want to, for a moment, just replace the word love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe it's perfectly valid to do that because Jesus Christ is love. He is the person of love. Let's just read from the beginning here. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, though I have all faith that I can remove mountains and have not the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not the Lord Jesus Christ, it profits me nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ suffers long and is kind. The Lord Jesus Christ envies not. The Lord Jesus Christ vaunteth not himself, is not puffed up, does not behave himself unseemly, seeks not his own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. The Lord Jesus Christ rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The Lord Jesus Christ never fails. That's who it's about. That's really the heart of it, isn't it? In Christ alone, we sang, I put my trust. And so the Christian life for us, as we make any goals for this year, even if we think about the goals of Christian growth, it's not about us building our character more. It's not about us having a better marriage, relationship, family. All of those are byproducts of our focus upon a person, upon Jesus Christ. While there is work to be done, God, when it comes to spiritual growth, what God is saying is it's not about getting the work done. It's about getting the person done. He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We need to cooperate with him. We need to set our focus upon the one who has saved us, the one who's continually calling us to him. And so I pray that in this year that we would, if you have any goals, whatever goals you've thought about or desires that you have, that they would be turned over to and directed to the person of Jesus Christ, that we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. To him be the glory both now, right now, and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for, again, the beginning of a new year. I thank you for the reminder from your word, Lord, about really why we're here, and that is to glorify you, to grow, to become more like your Son. We thank you that you've saved us, you've brought us out of this world into your wonderful light. We pray that, as your word says, that we would continue to walk in that light, that we would obey the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you'd give us a desire, rekindle a desire for us for your word, for that sincere milk of the word of God. Lord, that we would make it a priority to spend some time in that word, meeting with you every day. Lord, that we would no longer take our lead from the world or the world's wisdom and the world's trappings, Lord, but that we would really grow from the nourishment of sound doctrine and from your word. We know, Lord, that this will take some effort on our part, and so we know that you have promised that you'll never leave us or forsake us, that you are the one that's working in us. Lord, help us to cooperate by yielding to the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we read the word of God, as the Spirit convicts us about things that we need to change, Lord, by your grace, can we, Lord, begin to put things in place, to put off some things, to put on others. And Lord, that we would do that collectively, not just ourselves on our own, but Lord, that we would encourage one another here as a church to grow, and that to grow spiritually, to exercise ourselves to godliness. And Lord, that this place would be a place in which we could do that without fear of judgment from others, but Lord, that we would be an encouragement to each other. And finally, Lord, we know that apart from you, apart from Jesus Christ, your Son, we can do nothing. And so we know that it's only by your grace that we can even have not only the desire to grow, but the ability. And we pray, Lord, that we would recognize that, that Christ would be our goal in this year, and not only this year, for every year from now on. And Lord, we will love you, and we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.